Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain here on a Tuesday night. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, here with Johnny Quinn, the Johnny Quinn, JG, here in studio with us. And we've got Sierra Catalina joining us from the New Jersey studios. Sierra, how are you tonight?
I am wonderful. Happy Tuesday.
Happy
Tuesday.
Favorite
night of the week.
Yeah, I know. This is a great experience for everybody. And, Philip, we're appreciative to have you on the boards here with us, keeping us in track.
Between
the white and the yellow, as we like to say. Mm-hmm. We got a lot going on tonight. There's a ton we could cover. I was on the morning show here on this station with Dan Brennan this morning talking about the stock market crash and why crypto people do not care because crypto moves 20% up or down any day. It's like, you're worried about something going down 3%? Like, oh my gosh, this is amateur hour compared to us.
What are you,
new? Yeah, what are you, noob? Like, this is amateur hour. I told him this morning, I said, unless you're cashing out your 401k tomorrow,
yeah,
don't look at it.
Or a second mortgage on the house.
Yeah, too. If you don't need this money tomorrow, then why are you even sweating what it looks like? Because odds are, the math tells you, the American public keeps putting money into their 401ks. That money has to keep going into the stock market. They will keep artificially inflating these assets.
Well,
why are you all worried about it?
So Fidelity, BlackRock, all these other hedge funds and all these big companies are buying. They
didn't sell any Bitcoin
very
either.
Cheap. They bought it at a 20% discount.
And you sent me something today that said BlackRock, MicroStrategy, all these guys, you had the Bitcoin dip. None of them sold.
Oh, no.
They're all just buying.
Yes.
They're just buying.
I mean, again, the idea is they know what. The only thing I would say would be the EMP that takes out the internet would be the only thing that I would say that says would derail what is going on. And I heard some weird guys.
It's going to derail a lot of stuff.
Yes. And we have much bigger problems. And you have much bigger problems at that point than your portfolio. But I heard some guys I was reading on X that they're using. I couldn't get into the idea of it because it was on X with a very small, it wasn't an article, and they were talking about trading Bitcoin over ham radio,
like CB radio.
And I don't understand how that's even possible.
But
they were talking about
it.
I don't know,
but you can do it over LoRaWAN.
Well,
that's what it is. Yeah.
I've been watching Longmire, and they do a lot over CB radio. You ever seen that show Longmire? You just come on A&E?
Oh, yeah.
About the sheriff out in
Well, there was no cell coverage out in the middle of Montana, wherever the heck they
are. That show. It's like the precursor to Yellowstone. It's like the folks that made Yellowstone watched this, and they were like, how do we amp this up 30%?
Yeah.
And make it more violent and more controversial to put it on.
They also had the neutral citizens. They also
there's a sovereign citizen episode.
Sovereign citizen season, a whole season of sovereign citizens, which I find fascinating.
There's so much going on with the Native American tribe.
I bet you they trade Bitcoin. I guarantee you. Yeah.
There's so much going on with the Native American tribe and the reservation there, and the their use of peyote and.
It's called Longmire. It's on Netflix.
There's a million things we could unpack from Longmire on Netflix. Great show.
Yeah.
By the way, Sierra, we got way off track fast.
Sorry.
This is what happens, though, when Johnny and I are left to our own devices. So, we're not that upset about it either. So, it's okay. I tell people when they want to listen to this show, I'm like, hey, man, you may learn a little about cryptocurrency. You may just learn about some things you've always been interested in. You just don't know what it is.
But yes, it's been an interesting week, and to watch all the dip and then all the rise today, and then all the dip and then all the rise.
I just don't pay attention to any of that.
Well, the trick is I think we've said this since any time we had a chance to tell anybody, you don't put anything in there that you can't afford to lose because you're probably going to lose it anyway.
I think I've told you this story before, and I think I've told it on air before, but somebody taught me one time, Sierra, it may have been one of the people we met in Austin, and they said, here's the way you need to think about your crypto portfolio. If you look at your portfolio and you're not immediately willing to sell and or buy, do 50 push-ups. And that will cure you from looking at your portfolio.
I like it. I like it.
It's like, all right, if you're not willing to sell or buy, why are you looking at it? Do 50 push-ups.
I like that.
Well, and it would definitely work. It would definitely work.
If nothing else, you'd be strong.
I did force myself not to buy some discounted stuff yesterday.
Yeah, I did the same.
I feel guilty for not doing it.
I didn't either. I'm sitting on cash.
Yeah, I'm holding some gunpowder right now, yeah. I will say.
Same. All right, folks, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, I'm going to get in it with Johnny and Sierra. We're going to talk about some things that might actually interest you instead of just us having a good time with ourselves. When we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Nothing wrong with having a good time with yourself.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain, where you are unburdened from what has been. And we are talking about blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and how it matters to you. Here in the here live in the New Jersey studios, we've got Sierra Catalina. Sierra, there's some really interesting updates going on with AI and some emerging technologies that's really gotten hot this week. Do you want to give us a little bit of an update on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a really exciting new humanoid robot unveil today, or not new, but updated. Figure 2 was released. So we saw Figure 1 humanoid bot a few months ago, and they've partnered with OpenAI and ChatGPT for the language model element of the bot. But today, Figure 2, which has been fully redesigned and revamped, was launched and demoed, and it has some really exciting new features. So they've increased the camera amount from 2 to 6, so it has an onboard vision system. The new hands have 16 degrees of freedom and human equivalent strength, wow, which is both scary and impressive. They've doubled the battery pack power, so there's 50% more energy available, and the onboard CPU and GPU are capable of 3 times the computation and inference as before, which just means that it is 3 times smarter, faster, and more capable than before.
And this version is relatively off the heels of the last version, right? So we're not talking about a number of years since the last release. Is that correct?
Yeah, a couple of months. I think 4 months ago was the Figure 1 demo.
Do we expect, I guess based on Turing's law, we should expect this rate to continue to increase, right?
Absolutely. I think we're going to continue to see new humanoid bots pop up on the market left and right over the next year or so. Now I'm anxious to see Optimus's next demo.
The article said I'm guessing Figure 1 was deployed in the BMW plant in South Carolina to test if it could learn, and it had no problem. So it's already being used in an industrial.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, yeah, of course.
Although
that's
I did see.
Yeah, they have a partnership with BMW, and they did demo today Figure 2 doing some useful work in what looked like a vehicle manufacturing factory, though there was no BMW branding visible.
Once these bots, because they kind of move slow and clunky, but they get the job done.
They weren't slow and clunky now.
That's what I'm saying. But once they keep iterating over and over and they get fast. So I made this joke earlier this week on X. Sierra posted about this bot that was making sandwiches.
Right.
And it made a sandwich great. But it took too long, and I was like, he's going to have to move faster to replace the line cook. You know, I did this, like, meme from the bear.
Every second counts.
But once those bots, they can already get the job done. Once they start moving faster, it's game over, baby. Mm-hmm. Like, it is game over for manual labor. They will make that sandwich faster than you could ever believe. They will create that car faster than you could ever imagine. And we're all just got to look and figure out what the end of the world looks
like. Dude, I thought a Commodore 64 was bad. Yeah. It was amazing. Now, I mean, come on.
When I had Prodigy in 1997, Prodigy. I thought the world was over.
Friendster.
Yeah, I actually was pretty impressed with Figure 2's speed. So they already are starting to pick up speed a bit, but you're absolutely right. Most of the humanoid robots that we've seen so far move at the pace of, like, a grandfather.
Yeah, but that's just a matter of time, really.
With high precision.
It's just time. Once they figure out the movements, then we're just living on months worth of time, and, like, not years. To your point earlier, like, it's only going to be months until these things are moving as fast or faster than humans.
Well, those dancing robots were really fast and fluid. I mean, even however it's
pretty. Oh, that's unitary. Oh,
what kind of club you been going to, Philip? I ain't seen those dancing robots.
It's on YouTube. It's just on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know if there was a dancing robot club.
Yeah. But I wasn't familiar with. Unitree is the brand. Unitree Robotics. They make robot dogs too, really advanced robot dogs, and they're very affordable, but they're humanoid bots. Which is a little scary looking because it doesn't actually have a face. And what I mean by that is not that it's faceless, because Optimus and the new Figurebot and Atlas, which is Boston Dynamics, a humanoid robot, none of them have faces. They have, like, digital screens that have LED lights that kind of do stuff. But the Unitree robot literally has a hole in the head where a face should be. It's a little...
disconcerting,
dystopian.
I can always put strap.
I will say
face on there.
The aesthetics of Figure 1 to Figure 2. Figure 2 is really sleek. Like, they have sleeked that thing up.
Look, my one of my favorite lines from Westworld. I've told you on the show before. The robotic humanoid on Westworld. The guy asks her, "Are you real?" And she says, "If you can't tell, does it matter?"
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's the world we're headed toward. This is also why the population is going to continue to plummet.
Flies are going to crawl into our heads.
Oh, now you're talking about sex bots.
Yeah. The population has continued to plummet.
Remember the flies that crawled into their heads and reprogrammed them?
Yeah,
people?
The bots. Yeah. The what do they call the, I know what you're talking about, but. No, Johnny, I think that's a real thing.
Oh, no, look.
Like, it's something we have to be very concerned about. I'm not saying we need regulation against it.
For media,
but
the first camera, I think the second picture was a naked person.
Yeah, of course it was.
And then, of course, you have Beta and VHS. And yeah,
well, you know, the only reason VHS won over Beta.
Sony picked VHS.
Well, maybe so, but I was always told
that. The
porn industry.
Yeah, like,
Beta wouldn't get into porn. VHS would get into porn.
Wow. And that was way off the rails.
That was the death of Beta.
We're
talking about Beta technology.
But you're right. And military. So you have a certain form
porn
of entertainment
that
will pay for it and have the money. And then we'll see what the military does with. I'm sure the military is looking at these things going, we have a problem with recruiting people. Well, that won't be a problem in 10 years.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be a weird world.
We already live in a weird world.
The world is getting weirder by the minute.
It is. It's every
weirder by the minute. That's right. Not even by the day anymore.
By the minute. Yeah.
But
if you're not paying attention, if you're not listening to Beyond the Blockchain, you don't even know how weird the world is getting. You're just living oblivious out there, just thinking life is just the way it's always been.
I wish I didn't know.
Yeah, sometimes I wish I didn't know too, Philip.
You know,
I agree, bro.
That same company that did the robots, they also had the other kind of robots. They're kind of more like the dogs, but they were moving in a warehouse. They were moving huge boxes fast, moving them across.
And then they just put a machine gun on their back or a flamethrower and send them on out into the frontier.
It's a natural evolution.
Well, they did show the army dogs. No, they did show them. Did show those too in some
testing. Look, here's the deal.
Is that the same company as Figure?
Yeah.
I don't know, but any army dog, any robot dog, any military weapon that we know exists, you got to understand the federal government probably has something 7 generations past that.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Come on.
You see that?
They've been keeping secrets from us for a long time.
I'm thinking
we know all their secrets.
I'm really down on our institutions right now. Okay,
yeah.
You're not down
on them keeping secrets.
All these myths that I thought were kind of true have all been proved to be so untrue. I think
like the Secret Service,
nonsense.
Like the Secret Service is confident.
Right. Oh, they're fantastic. Yes. Oh, they're the best. They're like superhumans. Super. They are Keystone Cops, man. I mean, holy moly. So
we're on the list.
Well,
Sierra, you just got put on all the lists.
Now, Israel might have it. Those guys got
probably
stuff.
On all the lists just based on my browser history looking into these robots, because I spend a lot of time researching to the best of my ability where exactly the military is at, and militaries of the globe, too,
yeah.
with these technologies.
So we did vet you before we let you on the show, so we already knew you were on all the list. That's how you were qualified to be on the show.
That's right. We wouldn't want you if you weren't on the list.
Can't be on the show if you're not on all the list.
We don't want the show to make you be the reason you're
no,
on
no,
the
you
list.
Have to be on the list before you get on the show. Yes. If you ain't on the list, baby, you don't have a chance to get on the show.
I have been told by some very scary people, I don't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't matter what list
so
you're on.
I'm so little that it, like, you think you're nothing.
Yeah, you're so unimportant. Yeah,
it's like, you can do whatever you want. We don't. You're so not a threat.
You're on the list, but you're so far down the list. Like, no one cares.
We don't even laugh at you.
No. Yeah. We put you on the list because somebody made us.
Significant.
Right. Yeah. We had a quota.
We had
a quota.
You checked a box. We had to put you on the list. But on our scale of are we worried about you, we're not real worried about you.
But you'll still be on that watch list for the rest of your life.
I was having one of my existential meanings of why the hell do I do what I do every day. Just one of those days where I'm like, why do I do podcast editing and producing when I've just had enough of it? Which
sure.
Some days I love and some days I just ponder. And I started looking up robotic schools.
Ooh.
But I'm 53. It's too late for me. I'm done.
No,
I'm over
not.
And done with. I'm over and done with.
Never too late.
I don't think that's true.
My math skills are very poor.
Well, based on modern scientific technology, you just keep staying healthy for another 20 years, and you may live for another 70 years. That's my
70?
Goal. Yeah.
That's true.
I think so you're saying at 70, I can live another 70 years, 140
You'll
years?
Be in
you
yes.
think I am, Moses?
No,
maybe.
I'm saying scientific tech. If you can stay alive another 20 years, scientific technology.
I don't believe this CRISPR stuff.
Well, I'm not saying it's CRISPR. I'm saying whatever's wrong with you, we'll just replace it with a new version of whatever it is. You need a new kidney? Okay. I need a new liver. There's no doubt. There ain't no doubt that in 20 years, it's going to be like, Tina needs a new liver. They better start growing it now.
Well, they're growing eyeballs.
They started talking about those pig livers as a big deal or whatever kidneys that work this year. And they're like, it took them that long to figure out pig kidneys?
Yeah,
come
they're
on.
Growing
it's,
eyeballs.
It's back to the Turing model, man.
You got it
gonna...
wrong. It's not Turing. It's something else. Turing is how you tell if you're a robot or a human.
Oh, Turing is how you tell if you're a human.
Yeah, so the Turing test for our listeners.
Yeah, that's if
is
you're
a
human.
One,
all right, what is the model, Sierra?
The Turing.
All right, Sierra, explain the Turing model. And then explain how I'm using it wrong.
Yeah, you're using it a bit wrong, but
quite a bit wrong.
The Turing test is whether or not an AI is indistinguishable from a human. So, for instance, on a chatbot level, if you're interacting with, let's say, you know, I like to reference my customer service chatbots because I love them. If you're interacting with a customer service chatbot and you think that there is, in fact, another person on the other end of that messenger, then that bot has passed the Turing test. So that is what the Turing test means. It is how indistinguishable from a human the technology is. And that is a great segue into the other product that launched in the last week that I want to talk about, or finally was made accessible to the public, was demoed a while ago, which is ChatGPT's new voice model. And let me tell you, it passes the Turing test. GPT's new voice model, you can interact with it directly through speech. And in previous, you might be thinking, well, we've had this before. I talk to my phone all the time. I talk to Siri or Google or whomever. But the way that it has worked in previous technologies is we talk, and our speech is then on the back end generated into text. That text is handed off as a query to the model. The model responds, and then the same thing happens on the receiving end. So it's made it quite slow, and it is taking our text and our speech and generating text from it. It's not actually understanding audio. But GPT's new voice model does actually process audio in real time, and it can speak with different emotion behind it. It answers at the rate of if you were talking to another human. I saw a demo where this guy told it to act like it was running from a lion while responding to a certain query. And it kept, the guy would interrupt and say, all right, it's getting closer now. It's getting closer. And the model's voice would change and it's even more scared and more breathless.
That's very interesting, very fascinating, very frightening. When we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we're going to talk about more about AI technology, how it's going to impact our lives. Maybe talk about a little bit about hospitality and tourism.
How we vacation with AI.
How we vacation with AI, or how we will.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, here with the Johnny Gwynn, here with Sierra Catalina, here with Philip, keeping us between the white and the yellows. If you missed us during the break, we were talking about ghost stories, which is largely irrelevant to where we left off the show, but it's highly relevant to where the rest of the show may go. Sierra, you were telling us a little bit about some robots. I think you had another robot story to tell us, didn't you, before we went into the break?
Just another kind of AI news update worth mentioning. NVIDIA has gotten themselves into a lot of trouble and has admitted to scraping a lifetime's worth of video data from YouTube per day. A lifetime's worth per day.
That's, they've been scraping. That's interesting math. I don't know how to interpolate.
How do you quantify? Well,
I don't know how to interpolate a lifetime's worth per day, but seems like a lot. Seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, it's definitely just an egregious amount of data scraping.
What do you think NVIDIA is doing with this data? Or are we scared to even ask?
I'm sure they're training vision models.
Some kind of large machine learning model.
Training data, yeah, for sure. NVIDIA is pretty well divested in the bot landscape. They're not putting their eggs in any one basket, so they're partnering with a few different robotics companies, and I guess
don't you think it's likely they probably have their own robotics team that's underground and they're just using everybody else as some guinea pigs? They're such a big company, such a giant market cap. I just would be surprised to find that any of these giant tech companies are not already delving in to their own AI and robotics teams. It would catch me off guard.
But they NVIDIA has a monopoly on the compute. It makes sense to me that they're kind of equally divested in all of the robotics projects being built using their chipsets. Because they're providing arguably the most important part, which is the compute.
And if I understand correctly, almost all of these chips are being built overseas, right?
Taiwan.
Absolutely, yes. Primarily in Taiwan. So Taiwan, for those of our listeners who are maybe not aware, Taiwan is equally important to the entire world in that they produce 90% of the global semiconductor chip supply. 90%.
It seems like a big number.
And it's a massive number.
I'm not real good at math.
Comes out of Japan.
That seems like it matters.
Yeah, it's pretty important. That is why the United States has a vested interest in protecting the likes of Taiwan, and why we should all care a little bit more about Taiwan.
I agree.
It also makes me think that, unless we're being silly, we should start working on creating these microchips here in the States as well, just as a backup. Let's just not be silly. Maybe this is a good backup plan.
AMD is American, right?
I don't know.
There are plans to bring the first domestic semiconductor chip supplier or producer to the United States. However, Taiwan really does have a very unique corner on that market. The lithography involved in creating these chipsets, there are 8 major factories in Taiwan with the capability of producing them, and 2 in Japan. And the sheer size of the factories alone, and also the CNC and like laser devices required to build these chipsets are tremendously expensive. And beyond that, Taiwan has been successfully producing semiconductor chips for so long that they really kind of have the knowledge on how to do so locked down. They've been very protective over the years of not allowing international interest to come in and observe their factories where the chipsets are produced. This is the lifeblood of Taiwan, right? It's what they what they produce.
I'm certainly not trying to interrupt with their ability to create these semiconductor chips, but they're also 30 miles off the mainland of China. And if the Chinese decide that they're going to do something about it, then we're going to have to decide to do something about it, and then you're in World War III.
I may be wrong. I think I read or saw something where they were talking about the inside of one of these manufacturing plants, and they have like a kill switch that says if they are invaded, it will self-destruct.
Oh, that's probably true. And that would hurt everybody, right?
Well, the idea is they're not, as Sierra said, they're very secretive about not giving away their secrets.
Yeah.
The idea is like, well, if we can't have it, then nobody can have the
secrets. Yeah, the Chinese don't have the semiconductors either. No, that's
possible. I do know that the knowledge of how to do it is something they keep very close to the chest. Like, they don't have training manuals for new employees and such. They train through word of mouth and
this
shadowing.
Sounds like a job for Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher needs to go and learn how to create these.
Well, I'm just guessing they didn't use ChatGPT to proofread their manuals.
Not yet.
Sadly, no.
That's coming soon.
That would have gone out of the world.
That'll be the next version.
Well, yeah. Again, I thought our government spent something like $800 million for some chip bill. Are we looking at another 10 years for a single chip will get made?
Well, hold on. We spent $23 billion on a broadband bill. That has not had anybody
$46 million for rural internet, and no one got internet. That literally just happened. And the other one was
this was $23 billion,
and they made 7 charging stations for Teslas.
Oh, well, you'll also be happy to know that the Pentagon The Pentagon released today that they've given over $230 million to the Taliban because they could not accurately keep up with where their grants were going.
No accounting.
Yeah.
Again, I live in a world saying,
this is how we end up on
purpose?
All lists, Sierra. This is how we end up on all the lists.
I'm waiting
here
for...
Here we are just trying to talk about having fun and movies. And
President Optimus, y'all decide on the language and the system. I am ready for President Optimus AI.
AI President.
I'm done with it. I'm done with
I think you should start a campaign. You know how you were thinking about doing a campaign for president? You should do a campaign for AI.
Well, that mayor is already doing it in that little small city.
Yeah, but
That's right.
He ain't you, and this ain't the president.
Hold on. I'm not doing – I'm still trying to keep a damn business up. I can't – I'm not running for president and not filing with FEC again.
I'm not old enough, unfortunately. Yeah, it's going to be not until 2028.
Listen to this child. I'm not old enough to run.
Oh,
God bless
Everybody's got an excuse for why they can't solve all the world's problems. Sears is, I'm not old enough. Oh my gosh.
But you're old enough to start a cult.
Yeah.
You're not old enough to run the nation.
I'm old enough to join your cult. Let's go. I will pick up and move to Maine. We only need 25 more people to go with us.
People don't know that story, Scott.
Let's go.
That's right. That's a good segue to it. So,
there you go.
Segue on to the cult.
I'd like to look at like different Zillow properties and stuff, and every now and then they send me push notifications, and I got a push notification to straight up buy a colony in Maine, and that was the word used on it, a colony of 28 homes for $5 million. And this colony is complete with 28 homes, a massive amount of acreage. It's on its own power grid, has its own water and sewer supply. It's right on the water, really beautiful, historic-looking area, solid wood homes with original millwork, excellent kept condition. There's even a church on the property and some stables for horses and some farmland. So I jokingly proposed to a group of my friends, like, hey, you know, kind of an excellent time to start a cult. Maybe we should buy
if there was ever a time to start a cult,
it'd be now.
It seems like now.
Yeah, no, sincerely, though.
Preppers.
But $5 million, 28 homes, and they're like, they're not like studio homes. They're like 4- and 5-bedroom, 2- and 2.5-bathroom homes on this property in Maine. But as we got to talking, I'm like, why though? So all the houses are vacant. They're in really great condition. There's nothing visibly wrong with the property area. Like, I was expecting maybe some sort of environmental damage or something needing environmental remediation, like a toxin or something. Because why would 28 families just up and leave their well-kept home? So upon further investigation, though only $5 million, my dream cult property appears to have been the inspiration behind the original Conjuring movie.
Oh.
And subsequently.
Turns out I've heard of it. Second
and third. And I've never seen those because they look terrifying to me. But apparently, I guess the property is haunted. Enough so that 28 families up and
man,
left.
I'll be honest. This thing's going to have to be real haunted for me. I just did the math. That's $178,000 per 4- or 5-bedroom home. I'd put together a group of folks and be like, we'll take on the ghost. Ain't that big of a deal.
There's a movie right there. It's not The Conjuring. It's The Getting Back.
Yeah, it's like...
Nah, it's The Takeover.
No, y'all don't get all this for that cheap.
Get out, ghosts. All right,
when we
get
back on Beyond the Blockchain, we're going to talk more about the ghosts and Conjuring. And, you know, we probably are not going to talk about AI and how it intersects with hospitality on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, here with Philip on the board, the Johnny Gwynn, and
Johnny,
our favorite New Jersey friend, Sierra Catalina, out of the New Jersey studios. Sierra, we were just talking about something fun and interesting and completely off the rails, which is what we like to do around here. We got a little bit of minute here in the last segment. I kind of want to keep going that direction, but Johnny, you asked me, you said, do you want to get beyond the blockchain?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Can we go there?
I do. Let's go beyond.
You got the mic.
Take
man.
Us there. No, you said you want to go beyond.
Oh, I don't want to do it. The story I thought was new is 5 years old.
Oh, well, maybe that's not the same thing.
But it is interesting. It is interesting. So this thing comes up, and it's about Ancestry.com.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, it's what you were talking about. Yeah.
Okay, Ancestry.com. And there is a very, it's not Black Rock, it's called Blackstone.
Okay.
It's a very large investment firm, hedge fund company.
Gotta
and they were originally part of the same
gotta be
company together.
Okay,
some
all right.
Other
well, so they bought Ancestry.com, this company that has been, these types of companies have not been known to be very, let's just, they're a little nefarious, right? If they bought Ancestry.com, they bought all the data of all the millions of people who have run their DNA through that service.
It's like a 23andMe kind of thing.
And so my question is, we always talk about, and those are biometrics, which I'm guessing, right? Biometrics.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Okay, we freely give that information when we send the whatever swab, right?
Because we want to know where we came from.
What can a Lex Luthor type company, right? Mm-hmm. What would they do with the DNA? What is this thing that's so darn scary about a company that might be nefarious to have your biometrics?
The first thing that comes to mind is a bioweapon.
Like that they're making a bioweapon like and they're using that as source material?
Well, if I could create a bioweapon that only targets some...
Oh, some like my Neanderthal blood that I have.
Designer
or
DNA.
Maybe. Or if you look at like The Boys, you know, this show on FX,
right.
It's like they're trying to create a bioweapon that only targets the suits. Right?
Yeah.
So I think you're looking at that. Sierra, go ahead. I think you had something to say.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, which I don't usually do, but like assuming the world is a better place than we know it to be, some potentially not nefarious things that one might want with that much DNA data is maybe designer drugs that...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got you.
Yeah, that target different genetic mutations and things in our genealogy, or perhaps work better for certain users than others. Also, just massive amounts of DNA data could be used to train AI models, not dissimilar to Google's AlphaFold 3, which is able to predict the DNA structures of nearly all living beings on Earth, which is really cool.
I don't really understand.
Predicting ones that are coming up, not born yet.
It's a great silver lining. And to Philip's question, he's asking about people that aren't born yet. I don't understand any of that. Can you tell me more about AlphaFold 3? Because that is a new concept to me.
Yeah, so AlphaFold 3 is a product of Google DeepMind. They have designed an AI that is able to predict the protein structure of all living beings with really, really high accuracy rates. So it's been able to model what human DNA looks like and other various living beings, but they're using AlphaFold 3 for drug discovery. So,
oh, good. That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, it's really a really promising initiative for drug discovery, and it's advanced tremendously from AlphaFold 2, which was unable to predict certain types of protein structures and kind of relied on other specific types of data input. But AlphaFold 3 could be potentially what helps us cure cancer or other genetic diseases.
I think that's what we all hope from AI and from machine learning is I like to be optimistic. I want to be hopeful. I want to believe that these technologies are going to take us into a new landscape. The pessimist in me, the skeptic in me sometimes takes control because history shows us that technology is not often used for the greater good.
It's the match theory.
Right. But
A match can light a fire. A match can burn down a house. Like you can save your life with it. You can destroy things. It's what the user uses with it.
So you hope that it's going to go that direction, but history has not shown us as humans to be very good at modulating this technology and using it for its highest and best purpose.
We're big dumb monkeys.
That's a good point.
We're big dumb monkeys. Yeah. I mean, look what we did with the power of the atom. Look what we did with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we did make some things like the power plants were interesting. And then we shut it all down. I mean, there's some Generation 4 fusion reactors right now. They're amazing that we can't get built. Hmm. But, I mean, yes, I want to believe. Like, look, for every Superman, there's Lex Luthor.
Right.
It just is. Is that right?
You got the right comic book with
comic
the right
book mythology?
Villain.
Okay.
Yes.
You got the right hero and the right villain.
It's very Asian for us to say for every Superman, there's a Lex Luthor.
Ah, but you know what? There's a lot of wisdom in the yin and the yang.
Of course.
For every good, there's a bad. Yeah. And I think most Asian theologies say you have to have both.
Well,
if you have one without the other, there's imbalance.
Stability and chaos. Well, yeah. And a little bit of both, and again, a little bit of both, and never mind. I don't. It's the graphic.
This has been the most kindergarten level theology conversation.
It's kind of like when one of our wonderful politicians explained space to people.
Yeah,
it's big and all around us.
The cloud. It's above us.
And the cloud. It lives above us.
It lives above us.
I never said I was smart, Scott.
Neither did I. That's what makes this show
or
fun.
Enlightened.
Well, and part of the show is at no point have we ever told people to listen to what we have to say and take it as advice. Joe Rogan did a stand-up special this weekend on Netflix.
Yeah.
And one of the things that stuck with me, he said, if you listen to me for advice, that's on you.
Right.
I have never told you to listen to me for advice. That's kind of how I feel about the show sometimes.
Well, look, if someone can get some entertainment and some education.
Some value.
I mean, we bring Sierra on there to educate people.
Wow, thank God for that.
You know, we just sit around and, like, make cheap shots at things. Yeah. You know,
we're just a bunch of dumb animals throwing sticks at each other.
Right. And I will agree with that.
We're very relatable. Yeah.
And
we're everyday people.
Next week we can talk about one of my new favorite things is these strange monoliths popping up all over the country.
Oh, you're going to have to send me some information on that.
Yeah, I think it's a hoax, but it's interesting. Yeah. I love the fact that someone makes these things and puts them out in the middle of nowhere. Someone may find them.
Man, I kind of hope
it's not
it's not a hoax. Actually.
What do you think the motivation behind that?
Autistic children, autistic people who grew up that thinks it's hilarious. Nothing wrong with autism. I know a lot of people on the spectrum, including myself. But it is. I think it's the idea of like the ultimate troll.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good troll.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
Or maybe what's the sound of one monolith in the woods or whatever? I don't know.
If it falls and no one hears it.
Right. When the monolith falls and no one hears it.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. Next week, folks, on the other blockchain. If a monolith falls and doesn't make a sound, does anybody hear it?